Not scared of the dark, feeling good for the first time. The pressure gave me lessons, counting blessings, and they all mine. Your gazes feel so heavy, your touch will break my levy. All my love will come through, just feel it kiss you. Not scared of your heart, felt it beat for the first time. The pressure gave me lessons, got me fading in the sunshine. Your kiss just feels like candy, the warmth is so demanding. All my love will come through, just feel it kiss you. Oh yeah, 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 oh yeah, yeah, oh, oh. Time always stays.
Ooh, I'm about to die, yeah.
Who is that?
Trey Songz.
Trey Songz.
I don't remember the words.
It's better that way.
Honestly, it's funny because there was an interviewer who was like, why do you always think about sex? And he was like, I'm good at it.
Good at singing about it or good at sex?
I guess that's for you to decide.
That's spin.
Sorry, I the cotton was catching flame.
That's fair. Oh,
yes.
I don't know why I have a Q-tip in my ashtray. I don't know what I did with that Q-tip.
Hey, everybody. Q-tips and ashtrays are not a good idea.
I'm trying to sabotage somebody. My master plan on this worked out there.
Yeah, because...
You must set it ablaze.
Yeah, that fire was going.
Damn.
That's why I spat.
Dry. Thank you, sir. Ugh. All right. Well... Let's dive in. What the fuck's been going on, Monty? We haven't done this in... I don't even know what month that was.
It was one of your first five, or was it the first?
You were the first guest.
Yeah.
And then we did a second one.
Oh, did we do a second
spirituality
one?
And religion. Yeah, that was the sure first did. Recorded, like, video recorded one.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Okay. Yeah, so that was a fat minute ago.
Yeah, that was before the world turned upside down. Before anything happened in the new age.
Before Corona.
Yes.
Before BLM.
Uh-huh. Well, that's been going on for... That's you'd fair. Think it would. It just started.
That's fair. See, look. This type of rhetoric, this type of speech that I just spoke is what perpetuates the idea that this is new and it's not. Like you said, you know, like this type of idea that, oh no, like, shit's really getting bad. And I've been seeing these posts all over Instagram where they're like, shit's been getting bad. You're just not realizing it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
There's a couple months before this, there's a picture that's been going around on Instagram specifically, I think. I can't even remember where I saw it, but it said something about the system, and it was like some protest sign. And I don't think it was one during, I don't think the like mass protests had started by that point, but... It said, the system isn't broken. This is how the system was designed to work this way. Mm. Or something like that. Something along those lines.
That's even more crucial, honestly. Yeah.
But that's it. Yeah, like you were saying, this stuff's been going on. It's just been in the background for a long time. Not for everybody, you know? Like, I think a lot of people...
It's just been a counterculture, you know? That's the thing. It's like, the counterculture is the culture that has a mass following... but not a mainstream following, you know what I mean? There's always been a pocket of America that's been pissed off about this, like you're saying, you know, it's not new. And I feel like, from my perspective, I've definitely been in situations where I'm reminded of my race. And it's funny because I really feel like I'm not the type of person to think about... like, my race. Like, when I think about... Because, like, I, as someone who's not only black, but not straight, it's like, there are plenty of reasons why I could be think... but why I could view myself under certain constraints. But it's like, when I think about my aspirations, who Monty wants, who Monty loves, who Monty wants to be, what Monty wants, like, those things don't really involve who I want to fuck. You know, like, as far as, like, my sexual orientation, and they really don't involve the color of my skin. Mm-hmm. But it's only when we, in our natural states, are put in a situation that reminds us of those things that you begin to really need to take pride in them. You know what I mean? And I guess what I mean by that is, like, you only get, pride when it's been oppressed. Like, for instance, is anyone proud to have, like, thumbs? Is anyone proud to have thumbs?
Humans. But that's about it.
Exactly.
I can think of.
It's very anthropocentric. But thumbs aside, I guess. Because thumbs, we could say, hey, man, we have opposable thumbs regarding animals. But taking it a step further, what about an index finger? Mm-hmm. You know, who's walking around saying, like, bro, we have an index finger? Nobody. But it's only when, going back to your thumb, actually, for the use of the analogy, it's only when you look around and see nobody else has a thumb. And you're like, oh shit, I have a thumb. And then you're othered now, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess my point is, like, I have only felt or acknowledged these things about myself when I was forced to be othered by my circumstance. Like, it's small stuff that you just notice, like, and it's normally from older people who tend to be more racist. But it's like, I remember I was walking into Meyer with Josh, and like, this is a multiple time occasion. Josh, by the way, is our roommate. This is a multiple time occasion where I would be walking into Meyer with as someone who's white, and the greeter will just not look at me. Like, they'll like say hi, like, welcome to Walmart, welcome to Meyer, to like someone like Josh.
Uh-huh.
You know, but just never. And it's one of those things where you don't even say anything or even joke about it or mention it, because you just kind of get, you don't get used to it because you always notice it, but you definitely get like accustomed to being there.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's just like, okay, well, it's like, what do you expect? Like, you almost, like, one thing I like about this movement is it personally reminds me to be upset, you know, because what's sad is, like, I'm not a Karen, like, I'm not someone who's white, and yet I have allowed myself to become complacent because it's really easy to just accept stuff like that, you know, because, like, sometimes it's like, this is gonna sound fucked up to say, but there are some black people who that's all they want to talk about is being black. And going back to what I said before, I really like to see myself as an individual and as Monty before I'm black and before I'm anything else. And so those people would really annoy me. But I've been living under an illusion that it doesn't matter anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I've been privileged enough to be that ignorant as a black man, to feel like it doesn't matter anymore. Like, I'm just a person. We live in America. Damn. Like,
really? That's interesting, because, you know, I think a lot of people look at you and just strictly based on identity politics, you know, they would recognize you to be someone who hasn't really, that doesn't check off any of the marks of a privileged person, I guess, being a man, but that's about the only one. I mean, it's not like, so that's, what do you think that is? What privilege do you think you've been given that makes you?
I would say, I would say it's more about my personal psyche than, like, a systematic thing. Mm. But, hey, someone listening to this could feel the same way I do.
Mm.
But I think, personally, it was my, so, like, growing up, there are a lot of things that people who are in lower economic situations do. A lot of habits, right, that perpetuate depression and negativity, but because they are in an impoverished state, that is what they blame, you know? And I've always been someone who saw the do's and don'ts just from looking at, like, my parents, and then having this, like, drive to want to be, like, honestly, to be against the grain. And it wasn't a sense of, like, I want to be against the grain for the sake of being against the grain, but it was like, I want to be against the grain because this is my grain. You know what I mean? And it was more, and that grain just being the sense of, like, and again, it's not just black people by any stretch of the imagination who go through, like, impoverished hardships. However, it is our ancestry that makes the percentage of us that much greater than the other races. And I feel like I wasn't thinking like that growing up. I wasn't thinking about the true current ramifications of our past hardships. And so what I was sick of hearing is everyone around me griping about how they don't like what they have while still making the same mistakes that put them there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, again, this is not, I'm not saying black people do this. I'm mm-hmm. saying impoverished people do that.
Yeah.
And too many of our people are impoverished.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Nevertheless, that creates this type of slavery that Kanye likes to talk about and that a lot of people talk about. Black people are still enslaved. And I guess all I'm saying is I'm one of those people who, for a long time, I feel like could have been considered enslaved in that. And thinking that I wasn't simply because I saw the mistakes they made and I didn't want to make them. But what I still failed to acknowledge was that just because you might be a smart black man doesn't make you not a black man. Just because you might be... an articulate black man does not make you not a black man, you know? So this movement has really helped me see that and helped me feel like, okay, like it does matter that you're black. I know you hate to admit that it matters that you're not straight yeah. and it matters what the color your skin is and what's between your legs, but these right. things tend to matter. And now more than ever, it's really a great time to acknowledge that about myself and be like, you know, you're black and it's nice. And your people have had it hard. It's okay to admit that while still looking forward. And that's what we're trying to do is get equal, go mm-hmm. forward. So I like that.
Mm-hmm. Damn, dude. That's, that was well worded. I don't even know what to add to that. That's like, I can only, that's powerful stuff.
And the funny thing is I feel like I haven't, like, that's probably the first time I've articulated it like that because mm. I haven't really necessarily needed to. You know what I mean? Because, yeah. like, and then going back...
I got you on the spot.
Right. That's the thing, bro. But that's the thing about being on the spot is I like what it brings out. You know, it takes mm. pressure to make a diamond.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And
yeah,
so...
To get to that truth, yeah, you gotta, mm-hmm. you gotta put yourself in those situations. There's something ironic about... inherently about a white dude asking you how you think you're privileged. Especially when you've told me you're a gay black man.
Right. Right.
But I mean, obviously that has like been a true awakening for me too. And in this, cause I was always someone that like, that has heard about Black Lives Matter, but hadn't given it the proper attention that like fully recognizing, you know, like I would hear all of the issues that the country is still facing, you know, and realize how it's clearly, the game is still forcing people to play it, and what if you don't play it and you're in a position that makes it incredibly hard to play it, like, mm-hmm. it eats you alive, and mm-hmm. It does that disproportionately in pretty much every fucking regard mm-hmm. in America still, to black people, and that was always something I've known, you know, since high school. I don't think it's weird, it's an uncomfortable, it's, like you said, it's a truth serum having to, like, come out and address all of this, and mm-hmm. especially when something gets momentum to this degree, you know, it makes you realize that there's still so much going on that it's worth a civil rights movement.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. Yeah.
And just acknowledging that the problems exist is not enough if you're not actively thinking about how you're being a part of changing it and mm-hmm. being a solution, because it takes all of us. It's not just going to happen. And that's where it gets really complicated, you know? And that's where what makes it extremely uncomfortable to talk about is, like, how do you be informed? Like, if you're not a politician, if you haven't studied mm-hmm. this, everybody has to study something. It's that brutal of a system to where if you don't, like, concentrate and master something, mm-hmm. it's going to be incredibly difficult for you to get ahead or gain upward mobility or even just
definitely.
Fucking not fall
yeah.
to some degree, you know?
100%.
And things that happened to everybody, emergencies.
And one of these prisons, too, because that really brings me to an interesting point. Because one of these prisons, like mental prisons, like has to do with finance, right? Because like you said, like it makes it so much harder to get ahead or to make something for yourself or even really to stay afloat. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing is we should not have to be complacent with staying afloat because this is fucking America. And have your strife with capitalism all day. Mm-hmm. But within the framework of capitalism, we have every right to not settle for mediocrity. Mm-hmm. But it is so... You see that, though. You see people who have been broken down so much and so used to being impoverished that they are happy with the smallest because they know that that's all they think they can get. And to be more specific, like, you know, talking about people who, like black people who are in low socioeconomic areas. I'm from a low socioeconomic area. When I was really young, all the way up until like my sophomore year of high school, we just really lived in some rough places. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like you see a lot of people who they get that job at Kroger, and that's, they're just really happy about that, and that's where they spend a lot of their life. They might go from Kroger to a factory. And that what I'm saying about these jobs is I'm not bagging on anybody working there, because I think you should truly be happy, right? You know, like, if really working at Kroger makes you happy, then that's fine. If you need to support your kids, do what you got to do. But the point I make with Kroger is that think about how many people might not want to stay there, but think that that's all that's there for them, and therefore miss out on so much. So I guess, going back to the whole like prison, like the prisons that we're in systematically speaking, like when you see the cycle, it's so hard to get out of it, and you think that you're just stuck there, mm-hmm. you know? And something like Black Lives Matter, I hope and pray, can have Black people all over the place who might not have ever been called nigger, who might not have ever been like, you know, pushed against the car, to still realize like, okay, those things haven't happened to me, but how has society and my environment made me feel like I still can't be great? You know, mm-hmm. like, and why am I working at this job? Why have I not gone back to school or gotten a certificate or spent hours on end doing what I love or maybe what I want or maybe achieving the dreams that I have? Why am I okay with just working my 9 to 5, then grabbing the bottle and coming home and then smoking a fat joint and then wake up and repeat? Like, again, if that really is what makes somebody happy, I'm not bagging on that, because simplicity, it can be bliss. But it's like, was that your choice? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, I feel like it's not. Yeah. They just don't see themselves doing anything else.
Yeah, of course. And, or even if they do, a lot of times to a certain point, it becomes too late. It becomes too hard.
Yeah,
done other things in life, and
especially when things like weed charges get you in bad.
Well, that's what's so impossible to deny about this, and that's just one of the big things that made me realize I'm not taking it seriously enough. Is like, you see the world standing up and saying something, and it reminds you like, God damn, we have like mass incarceration.
Yeah,
we have all of these different things. Affecting a huge portion of society, but obviously affecting Black people the most. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, it's like, it's so clear. It's like, you look at, it's not even just Black people. I mean, you look at anything that has to do with getting ahead or not having opportunities mm-hmm. taken away from you unjustly. And being disproportionately affected by that. White people are at the top of those lists of not being affected. And then you just go different ethnic background down the list, and
yeah,
it gets worse and worse.
Yeah, it does.
That's just like, being reminded that makes you realize you should have been like, yeah, we should have been taking it more seriously. You can't just like, I mean, I do still think peacefully and from my position, and that's the thing I think is, to preface that, you have to say things like addressing that. Ultimately, it's not your decision on how things do get protested to a certain degree, especially if you're white, mm-hmm. because of you're not experiencing it. And mm-hmm. clearly, you're aware that there is a mass injustice going on systemically in our country.
And this is the part where I feel like I was more learned and that I knew more. Even now, because like, what that makes me want to say is like, you know, rest in peace, George Floyd.
Hmm.
But why was it George Floyd that was the straw that broke the camel's back? Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
and this is where
that's
I,
a good question to ask.
Yeah, and then this is where I say like, this is why I wish I did more homework, because it makes me feel like, was there really anything truly special? Because think about the numerous amount of cases that we have heard all the way back from Trayvon Martin. Like, I just feel like, it's like a name like Breonna Taylor, like, that's so impactful now, but it's still so fresh. Like, you're just now hearing about that. Yeah. But this has been happening for a long ass time. And why, like, and a lot too. Like, and this can be said about something else that has to do with things that go boom, but we won't talk about that right now. guns. Mm. But it's just like, it's so many fucked up stuff. So much fucked up stuff has happened. Why does it take now for this to really, for this to happen? You know, I'm just curious. Like, and that's the thing. It's just, I don't think it's something that you can ever really get an answer to. But I guess it just makes me want to think about how I can be more impactful now, to see things now that maybe we're not, that the rest of people won't see until later on. Just yeah. like with this, like, because this was so important and it just took so long. Like, how can we continue to be proactive so that we don't look up 5 years from now and then be like, oh shit, that was bad. Yeah. Could have done something five yeah. years ago, you know what I mean?
It's so, probably going to become more that way.
Yeah, so like I've been really trying to like sign petitions a lot. Nice. And just do the best I can, honestly. I put up flyers in downtown Dayton. And I did try to go to that protest, but it didn't end up being a protest.
Yeah. It was in some form. That was interesting. It wasn't what we expected. Yeah, but there's probably going to be another one. I'm kind of conflicted on, you know, right now. Just as I get closer to moving back in with my parents, it feels like it becomes more unjustified to risk getting corona, you know, going out to a mass protest. Mm. While a month ago it was more practical because I didn't have to necessarily go and see them and have direct contact. And
right, but now you have your family to think about.
Yeah, which is like, I want to. And some people I think are right to criticize it for that in some sense of like, or at least medical professionals that aren't addressing that it's going to be part of the spread. Whether it's worth it or not is another conversation, mm-hmm. but I think people have an issue with some medical professionals acting like it's not even going to have an effect and being like, mm-hmm. this is, it's other things. And just saying that before they even have the evidence too, like making that statement of being absolutely true. But I guess it has been weeks and months now at this point, so they did eventually come out. And I mean, most people are wearing masks, so that's something to take into account too. It felt safer for me going there than it did. It does go into the store, but I mean, maybe not the store, not quite, because you're not coming in direct contact with people as closely. And you're spread out, you're wearing a mask and you're spread out as much as you can be. But obviously you're still marching a street together, so you're not like always 6 feet away from someone. But you usually stay next to the people you're with. If you go alone, that's a different story. So all the specifics become a part of it, and the boring details, you know, but then stuff matters, and it's really what makes the difference in situations like this, you know. So I do think it's like ultimately ethical to do it. I think part of the reason, like you're asking, why was it George Floyd? I think something like corona had the power to give people the time. And
that's what I was thinking.
In a weird way, I kind of feel like, I mean, just looking at myself directly, you know, like recognizing my own privilege in my life, addressing the issues, kind of just waiting for the next election cycle for Congress or the president, and assuming that was enough. And, you know, being open to conversation like this, and I do think this is the ultimate tool in the long run, but
it's a conversation, dude.
Yeah, but it's utter violence, you know. At the end of the day, Sam Harris says that, and it's like, it's so true. Like, in the grand scheme of things, obviously it's more complicated than that, but if you don't keep talking about it and you, like, both sides just shut off and there's such a divide, that's how shit gets ugly, you know, and that's why we're seeing an increase in it. If nothing, obviously, it's, you can't even figure out, it's too chaotic to go and ask each person that was doing a violent thing in this matter of, like, during protests and stuff, if it was, like, looting and rioting and stuff, and find out who was there just taking advantage of the situation, or who was doing it because they really believed it was a method of protest, and, you know, getting the analytics of all of those crazy details. But the infuriating part is you can't even do that for the fucking police when it's a clear issue of violence, and that's like, ultimately, it's like, is that gaslighting where you take a different situation, you focus on that?
Oh, I think so. I think I know what you mean.
When someone's focusing on...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's
switcheroo.
I feel like, honestly, though, it's not a BLM thing that people take advantage of riots. throughout history, I guarantee you that, like, I mean, if people are looting in the streets, people are going to take advantage of that. But that's not the point. I feel like focusing on that is so not the point. And people try to use that to say why it's this evil thing that is simply horrendous and thuggish and everything in between. But not everybody who's marching is doing it for that reason, on top of the fact that those people are doing that because people felt like it was time to march. You know what I mean? Right. So it's not a question of what came first, the chicken or the egg in this situation, because it's clear. Mm. People have been pissed for a while. People have been mistreated for a while, and that came first. So if there happen to be people who take advantage of these, that by no way demeans the validity of why they're here, mm-hmm. and the validity of what they stand for. Because it is the language of the unheard, like you were like the controversial post you posted about.
Yeah. And that was ultimately the point I was trying to make, you know, and some people don't agree with taking that select quote, and they say you're misconstruing misconstruing Martin Luther King's words. In their eyes, I'm probably blackwashing it, that disagrees with needing to make that point. It's not me negating. I think it's a bigger issue to whitewash and negate the specifics and the fact that he did say something like that, given I know MLK was a peaceful, protester and advocate and leader, you know, but Malcolm X did exist too, and ultimately, no matter who I agree with, you both were influential to the movement, and you have to address that, and even Martin Luther King addressed that. Mm-hmm. He addressed that and has other quotes where he's saying that to condemn rioting and looting would be counterproductive, even though he criticizes it, but to condemn it would be equating that to the same degree as the crimes of the unjust government and system. And
which really does need to change. By the way,
right,
perfect little segue here, the whole police situation. And I personally feel like, and don't kill me, y'all, it's not ridiculous to have police in helping the society. I think they're very necessary.
Interesting.
I think what isn't necessary is how lax the police, like, how lax the government seems to be on the police.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't feel like it would be that hard to keep them in order. And I know that's a loaded thing to say. You know, how can you keep anybody in order? But what other profession can use their profession to kill as many targeted individuals as they have? And that is, I firmly believe the logistics behind making that stop are not as hard as they lead it to be. I simply think they don't give a fuck. Or they haven't. Because, like, how crazy is that? How crazy? How much is that really to ask for you to be like, all right, government, make sure they don't go around killing the wrong people whenever they want.
Afraid and like they're crazy and they have, you know, these preconceived notions about the communities they're working in.
Yeah.
They work out of town. They're coming out of their fucking rich white cities and going into the cities a lot of times and trying to act like they don't have a power dynamic and they can just be
not to mention
inherently good and trust everybody.
And they all do the same things. It's not even as if black people are the only people doing the things they claim they hate about them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's happening disproportionately to them. Yes. It's a lot of people, right? Yeah. That's another sign I've seen of somebody saying, if you know it's not just black people, and that it's, then why aren't you mad?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. And it's like, it shouldn't even take that. You should be able to, obviously. It's just hard for me to believe, too, like, as exposed. It does become as simple as, like, people were saying that, too, of, like, a Google search. And I think a lot of people, especially, like you're saying, old people. And I want to cover that a little bit, too, because I don't think that I'm fully understood to some people in that regard. Mm-hmm. But, like you said, that if we were going to take a poll here, we're probably given, like, some sort of test or quiz. A significant portion of older people, which is not natural in a moral sense. Like, that shouldn't be the way that humans treat each other in the first place.
Right.
But given the history of eliminating racism, it makes sense that people are older. The older generations are going to be more racist than the next one if we're hopefully getting rid of it. And I do think in a lot of regards we are moving beyond it, but we're not even close because of how many... Because those people are going to... It's not an ultimate fix either, because a lot of those people still do agree with their grandparents and with their parents, and like that stuff does get passed along. So that's why it's important to talk about this stuff. And I think obviously too, that's something you have to recognize your own position, no matter where you fall in your political or moral views on the situation or what you think to be true. You have to like recognize that you still grew up in a society that has its advantages, and like if you're not pissed off about it, then you're not doing enough. And if you're not reading, if you're not doing simple Google searches, when you hear someone say something like systemic racism, or watch this movie, watch 13th, you know, like, there's so many different dominoes that you could be hitting, and all of them equal a giant string of things.
Yeah, why
all
you have to do is
be open and look, open to learning. It's really that. I can totally forgive ignorance. I'm ignorant in a lot of ways, and I have been, and I've grown beyond that, and I intend to keep doing that, you know. I don't want that to sound like I'm just, like, completely submissive to any... Sometimes that gets confused, I think, people, when they say that, they think of you as, like, someone who just will be submissive in their beliefs, that if someone tells you you're wrong, you're just like, oh, I fucked up, like, I believe this now, you know, you just go wherever the wind blows. But I don't think that has to be the case to be open to learning and getting closer to the truth of what a situation is, and, like, your own reality, especially, and the reality of the people around you, especially if you're going to say you're someone who cares about others. You can't be doing this thing where you're like, I'm too old, I don't have the energy to just not to care about this stuff anymore, you know?
Because no one's, you still have influence over the people around you.
Right.
You
know,
you're still fucking over the people around you, and even your children and grandchildren.
They gotta inherit that shit.
Exactly. Like, because you don't want to change, they continue to not change, and the world continues being divided, you know? And it's cheesy to say, but a house divided can't stand. And I think that's why it's things... I just feel like Corona, like you said, it gave time, and it, like, shocked. It was, like, the shock before... Because you know how you have to, like, shock the pool before you, like, put the chlorine in it or some shit like that? Like, there's, like, a pre-treatment to the finale. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Corona was like the perfect pre-treatment for like this BL for the BLM movement to really like steamboat like into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And so by continuing to feel like you are entitled to not give a fuck, or to truly feel like it's fake, I just really like you're part of the problem.
A conspiracy plan.
Part of the problem. Trey Songz shared this video where it was this nurse, and she...
Oh, yeah, dude, I remember you showing me this.
Yeah, it was this nurse, and she swore up and down that George Floyd was a conspiracy because he was addicted to meth, and had prior medical issues, including COVID. To which my rebuttal is, his medical condition had nothing to do with how he died. It was his knee, which she mentioned.
Yeah, dude, with that face, that's when she makes the most, like, evil villain face I have, like, ever seen in my life.
This bitch deserves to be in a fucking Marvel movie for a villainous bitch. Yeah. Like, yeah, so she just proceeds to say that his neck, quote-unquote, was his knee in the right place, in the wrong place, maybe. And then she proceeded to say why George Floyd basically deserved to die. And I just am really happy that people like Trey Songz care enough to do what he does and post them.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I just feel like...
Yeah, shed light on shit on shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I just think Corona was the perfect catalyst for this. It's about damn time. And like you said, ignorance can be forgiven, but when you choose to stay ignorant, all it does is divide everything.
Yeah, that's where it becomes arrogance. And then you can't have a conversation. It's like... But I do firmly believe, I'm still optimistic, that there are more people that aren't you can't just base it on the people around you, you know? I think a lot of people get so worked up. I get tired of hearing shit from only white people that are like, I can't deal with this. I can't think about it, you know? Like, like, I need to just keep going on with my own life. I have enough shit going on. Like, I believe in it. I support it. But, like, I'm not going to have awkward conversations with anybody, you know? And that's, like, what it takes to some degree. And you have to recognize what people are willing to have a conversation and what are going to waste your time.
That's true.
And that's, and ultimately, I like it with social media. I think that's, like, part of the problem is that we're all fucking cooped up. Nobody really wants to use social media to talk about a lot of this shit, but they feel obligated to, or they've already been, you know,
for sure,
divided over some other circumstance of life. You just haven't seen each other in a while, you know, it's a bunch of different people trying to communicate with each other that otherwise they wouldn't usually be communicating to, and it just extends the ability to do that, and it becomes unnatural to a certain degree, because you're just, especially on a public platform, you know, it's one thing to text and message each other, but to be on a public platform, you have an audience, and, you know, people are looking for drama. It's like, it's hard to not be a dramatic person and be on social media if you're going to engage with it. You have to be very selective, and you have to curate it, and you have to not to engage with it in that way, and that's something I still feel like I fall into every time I try to do it. It's like, it becomes hostile to some degree, to where it's like, it's not even worth it, even if you want to, even if you think you're being as calm and respectful as you can, and you're saying you're open to a conversation, oftentimes that's not enough. People will take,
on social media, dude, it's hard, bro.
Yeah,
because you don't, the person's not there.
Yeah,
because you have to have to admit from both sides, it's a lot easier to say what's on your mind through a keyboard. So it's like, not only are you geared with the perfect things to simply try and communicate, they're also geared with the perfect things that they need to tell you why they don't want it. You know what I mean? And so it can be a lot more dangerous to do it there, sadly, because when someone's next to you, you can, when you're in someone's presence, you know, you can see their facial expressions and you can see them, and you attach their, like, almost their life, almost like their, you attach them to what they're saying.
Yeah, you humanize them.
Exactly. And that makes it so much easier to maybe accept their criticism or accept what they have to say. But if it's over a keyboard, it's got the positive thing of sticking with them no matter what, because they're gonna see it, it's right in their face. But it's got the negative thing of turning them off because of that, you know, because of what that has to do with their initial, you know, feelings. And like I said, it's easier to break that down if they can feel that you're sincere, they can feel that you're a good guy or a neutral guy. But they through social media, bro, it's hard, especially if they're older.
Yeah.
If they're older, that's going to be, I feel like, even harder. And I just feel like that's more so because old people tend to be stuck in their ways. These are the same people who are telling their grandchildren to be racist. Or perpetuating racist tendencies without admitting that they're racist, you know? They're the same people who have black barbers or have black friends even, but still think or do things that perpetuate the wrong ideas.
Right.
People, so.
And that's been, I feel like those are the situations where it's like, like you're saying, there's variations to how people are racist today. I would think there's less people going around being like those grandparents teaching their people to be, their kids to be racist, or going around and calling black people the N-word, you know, and also in any other act below of racism that, below or above that.
Even using it, this is what I want to say too. I feel so strongly about this that I'm afraid that maybe I'll switch completely. Because you know how when you're young, you just feel so strongly about something, and you get old and your feelings change.
I believe in that to some degree.
You know, it's an old trope that hopefully doesn't manifest in my life. But just because of how strongly I feel about this, that's all the only reason why I say that. But I just really feel like I cannot tell a black person how to be black or how to identify with their history. But what I can say is I do hate the N-word in any iteration. But what I hate more than a black person saying it is another race saying it. Particularly white people, but I also do not think it's passable for other races to simply think because they're people of color, they can say that. And my reasoning behind all of it stems from the idea that I feel like we have a knack for taking words back, right? We have a knack for reusing words that were bad once, you know. Gay people will call each other fags. Girls will call each other bitches. But there's no denying how these words seep into the other party. The people who initially used it to hurt you. You know, so you can say, well, that's mean. You can't say that to me because that hurts me because of the past. But, you know, behind closed doors, they go behind your back. And you use that same word with their people. You know what I mean? And I just feel like that is extremely counterproductive to what you're intending to do by repurposing the word in the first place. What you're intending to do is you want to re-empower it. You want to give it something positive, so you almost like are taking back from what was taken from you. But in the process, you're just getting more people hip to it, mm-hmm. you know? And people continue to use it. And so I don't like when black people use it. But I just really hate the idea that white people use it, and especially to even each other. Like, I know, for a fact, from hearsay, and I know that white people will use the word with each other all the time. Because a black person's not around to be offended. And they feel like, you know, it's in the music they listen to, so it's fine. Which, again, black people... That's why I wish you didn't use it so much, because they wouldn't think that way if it wasn't all over the place.
Interesting. That's interesting.
But it's all over the place. Yeah. You know, that's where the counterproductivity comes in.
Yeah, it's weird too, because you have like a split in like who's still using a hard R and who's like using the upgraded A.
Guys, also, PSA people. PSA with hard R and A. That comes from dialect. You know, how do you say mother in the South? My mother, right? Mother. You see how the ER drops? So, how do you say nigger in the South? Nigga. you see that? So, that's why I hate there's even a delineation. And I get it. Uh-huh. I get why, because people do that, you know, like, you can't help, like, however a word is stigmatized is normally what its new meaning, you know what I mean? So the one that was spoken with slang, the one that was spoken with, you know, a southern drawl, so to speak, is now the one that is passable, but make no mistake, they have the same origin. That's why I'm like, just, again, if it wasn't all over the place, people, if we weren't using it all the time, people wouldn't, like, it would be so taboo that they wouldn't even say it amongst themselves unless right. they were trying to be racist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, words do, can die.
That, yes.
Left behind after enough generations just not using it.
Mm-hmm. Words, words die out so frequently in linguistics, like, yeah. It's statistical, that I forget how crazy the number is, but, like, tens of languages, like, die a year mm-hmm. because it's, like, indigenous languages that are being encroached on just by the modern world, and so because of that, less and less people are speaking them.
Is it usually when a word like gets deleted from the language, is it usually if the whole language is dying and it's like just mm. kind of fading out, mm-mm. or do sometimes with the a dominant language, does it have words that will die out and the language continue?
Yes to both. So okay. Both is a possibility. And mind you, I know all this, and I'm sorry I can't plug you, YouTube guy. But it's a really cool channel, and he does all of these linguistic breakdowns of where words come from.
Okay.
And
that sounds awesome.
I know. I've always been a sucker. Like I've always. I know it's kind of nerdy to say, but I've always loved language and linguistics and stuff like that. So I just thought it was a really cool channel, and I binged this whole channel through like 3 days or a week or something like that. And in one of them he is where he mentioned this stuff, and he was just saying, like, even though that is how a lot of languages are losing words, it's it like like, there are plenty of words that used to be in our language that aren't anymore. Mm. And so, even and languages, and English is still thriving. So, mm-hmm. you know, words can die, without a doubt.
Right.
And I wish that word would have. Or, this is the crazy, crazy flip side to it all. Uh-huh. Or you could simply just learn to let anybody say it and be okay with it and completely strip the history.
In any context?
Yeah. Because really? Cause you cannot have your cake and eat it too. Yeah. So how can you... So you're using this word only, and you say only you can use it. Mm-hmm. But then there are factions of black people who give white people permission to use it. Mm. And then there are factions of black people who don't even care if white people use it without permission or otherwise.
Right.
And then there are a faction of black people who hate the word entirely, like me, mm-hmm. right? So as long as the word exists because of its polarizing history and continuously morphing connotation, it will always be a polarizing thing.
Power.
Yes, it will have power.
The negative power, even if some people are trying to use it in a positive light.
Yeah. So if that's really what you're going to...
Or not a positive, I guess, but a light that, like, is casually used, mm-hmm. I guess, you know?
Yeah. And if that's really, like, your... thing to where you just really feel like the word should be repurposed and you should be able to use it, then you have just got to take away the meaning. You've got to let white people use it whenever they want.
Hmm.
Because otherwise, like, how is it not going to polarize? Like, how can you convince you convince one type of person that they can't say something? They're going to want to say it. They're going to say it.
Yeah.
And as long as you give it that power, it's fine. So you've got one of two options. You eradicate the word, or you completely eradicate the meaning of the word.
Mm.
But this, like, picking...
That would have been the easier thing to do, I totally... That's true. Because at this, I've always kind of understood, and, I mean, I've definitely shared most perspectives with you on that, and, like, 100% with white people using it. The only times where I think race is not an applicable reason not to use it is with comedy. If it's being done in a satirical or ironic sense.
Dude, and this is, bro, me and Mike were just talking about this, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
But I also think, like, but with what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
if I, because I've also, like, I have the perspective, you know, that I'm a white dude, so I shouldn't use it, especially unless I'm quoting something or if I'm, or if it would be for comedic sense. But oftentimes, I think a lot of people use it way more casually, and they'll use it in, like, just their everyday. And that doesn't make any sense for sure, because mm-hmm. it is, like, racial. You do, I think, with sometimes, that's the only thing I could think of transcending it in, but that perspective also makes me see it as, like, trying to be understanding of the part of the black community that mm-hmm. does use, is trying to transcend by using a variation of the same word. By making it something that's empowering, you know, I think mm-hmm. there's some musicians and artists that have talked about that of interpreting a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing, but that makes me, I guess, ultimately question, like, what is language at this point and how people use it? Can several words can most any word have several meanings to it, depending on the context? And if that's the case, would it make sense to kill any word?
Well, I have a point on that.
It's a perspective I could see some uh-huh. black people making. At the end of the day, I'm just along for the conversation. But
for sure. Yeah, so I have a point on that, and then I have a point on the comedy slant too.
Okay.
So as far as what you were just mentioning, the movie Arrival.
Mm.
Emphasizes this one point about linguistics. It's I think it's considered a theory, though I firmly believe it's a fact, that your brain is wired based on the languages it's comfortable speaking. Why is that? Well, it harkens back to why humans created language, and what language is good for. We evolved to have language because language helped us survive. Mm. Being more specific about abstract things helped us organize and therefore continue to survive. The Icelandic word for tool, I think, is the same word for weapon. and it's like flavor or some weird, no, not weird in a bad way, but you know, weird isn't different for me from some sound. But
what's that again?
Like neat, like it's a sound.
It's just in one ear and out the other.
It's the sound that's like based at like the back of your like mouth, like almost like a guttural sound, but it's not a guttural sound. It's like an inflection of like the top of the back of your throat.
This was an arrival.
No, oh, gotcha. This part is not an arrival.
Okay,
that is the Icelandic word for tool weapon. And so I guess the only point that I'm making is just, or no, that's not. That's Eskimo. Not Icelandic. That's Eskimo. Anyway, the point remains the same, is that same place, they have multiple words for the different types of snow. They have words for snow that sticks and snow that doesn't, you know, and that's based on the temperature of the snow. Why is that important? For building igloos, for burrowing into the snow when there are ice storms. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of their environment. So the kind of snow, it's important to have a different word for each one. It's more efficient that way. Because that way you don't have to keep describing things that are so integral in everyday speech.
Okay.
However, dial it back to knife and weapon. It's possible that the only time that they needed any... between knife and a tool, that it's possible that they only... use knives as tools, because think about how to build an igloo. You don't need much except human hands. So probably that was a tool for eating, you know, so tool and weapon, same meaning, you know, same word rather, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Now don't quote me for verbatim for any of that, because I'm not an expert and I could have misheard that information, but the point remains the same. I know what I did not botch is the framework of my reference, and that, what I'm, I guess my point is that your language is strictly based on what you need it for, you know? The Greeks have multiple words for love because in their society, I bet you that those different words were important, you know? So,
distinguishing what kind of love they were in?
Yeah, exactly. For distinguishing the kind of love that they wanted to express. Going back to arrival, she could see the future because these aliens that came were basically... not constrained to the dimension of time, and therefore could see the future. Therefore, when they wrote non-linearly. So they did not write using the framework of a first, then a second, an I, then a you, or an I, then an action, because that's all causal. That's one, then the other. Whereas when they wrote, it was this circular-looking, like floating hieroglyph or whatever, and it looked like that because it was depicting multiple ideas, but it was in a non-linear time frame. So it was it could say things, but within the frame of time, there was no first then last. And so they could see into the future because of that. Mm-hmm. So as the main character, this linguist who was sent to decode the alien language, as she discovered that, she too was able to see into the future. So these are some huge rabbit trails that I just took everyone on. Mm-hmm. But the point remains, the point is...
I'm with you, though.
Okay, cool. Because the only point that I'm making is your mind is shaped by your language and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so perpetuating this word says something about you, you know? And so the only way that you can... fight, like fix the problem is either you let everybody say it, right? Because at that point, the word has no harsh meaning. You cannot, like, it can't mean anything negative to you if you don't associate it with negative things. Mm-hmm. So it's either that, or it's abolish it completely. Because abolishing, and I do believe words can be abolished, because by abolishing a word like that, you would also abolish the sentiment. Mm-hmm. You know, going back to how they have so many different words for ice. I mean, oh, for snow, I'm sorry. Because that's so important to them and their culture. Mm-hmm. So emphasis on that. It's so important. Or that's more practical because they need ice to survive as far as building and things like that. But take it to a cultural sense, how the Greeks have so many words for love. Mm-hmm. That just goes to show how much it is in their language. How much, with like how... purposeful is the sentiment of love in their language that they have to break it up like that. Mm. You know? So by keeping that word and keeping factions or pieces or fractions of that word to be negative, you're only perpetuating the sentiment behind that negativity. Mm. You're by allowing the word to exist. So either you strip it of that negative sentiment and let it continue to populate sentences and conversations, or you erase it from sentences and conversations completely. Otherwise, the sentiment remains. And I think the whole sentiment thing is important too in referencing the comedy aspect of it, because what makes a joke too far? And it's all about what you believe the comedian is taking into account. Mm. Because if they take the joke too far, then they're the fucked up one. Mm-hmm. But all the while, they've just been trying to make you laugh, right? Mm-hmm. Are they really that fucked up? They were really just trying to make you laugh, mm-hmm, this whole time, and you were okay with it. And so you feel like they crossed the line. But mm-hmm, that line that they cross, it's arbitrary, and it's yours. So it's like, are you going to make that or let that define the comedian? Or do you accept the fact that he had a goal and he went too far to try to achieve that goal? You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? It doesn't, mm-hmm, always have to be a reflection of your character or belief system. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying basically that in an instance like that, it wouldn't make you hate the person or want to cancel them to a certain... Or
but now you've got to prove. Mm-hmm. And this is what me and Michael were talking about, because now, to me, from my perspective, now you've got to prove what your sentiment truly is, because now you have crossed a great line. Mm. I can choose to be self-aware and say, okay, well, I'm not going to immediately get upset. What I'm going to do is analyze the situation, and then I arrive to the conclusion he was just trying to make me laugh. But if that was the true drive behind his focus, he's also going to cross a couple of other lines, too. So I guess the point that I'm making is, especially when in regards to race, when they make fun of every race, you know, because then it becomes abundantly clear that he just goes to that extreme simply to make you laugh. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing it to one, mm-hmm, race,
right,
it is impossible.
Jeez, let up.
It's always
it's getting a little fishy, man.
Exactly. Yeah. It's almost impossible to believe.
That's the first red flag for
sure.
Yeah,
and like these two YouTubers are catching flack because they made jokes about the way that Chinese sounds. Mm. They were reviewing, and maybe it wasn't even Chinese. I just know that it was Asian writing on these snacks, and they're a YouTube channel that's reviewing these snacks. Mm-hmm. And when they looked at the writing, and they're like, "Well, this is called," and they couldn't say what it was called because it was another language. Mm-hmm. They started mocking like Chinese, like saying Chinese, like "ching ching chong," or basically, mm-hmm, and then saying like, "Oh, look, that's so bad, we shouldn't do it," and then perpetually like, continuing the joke. And I do think that that's in poor taste, but is that a reason to cancel them? I don't think so, because then you're assuming that that is their character as a racist person. When so many people, especially, now, let's be honest here, a lot of black people too, love to imitate other people.
Yeah.
And I think that only crosses a line when you're doing it to one person,
right,
or one group of people, because right, then it's like, wow, maybe you are racist because you're targeting them.
Yeah.
But if you're targeting everyone, then it's clear that that's the extreme that you go to try and make someone laugh through comedy.
Right.
So even with these YouTubers, granted, this might have been the first race joke that they've said, so then boom, it sounds like they're racist.
Right.
But what if the next week they came and said something, you know, it's almost like, if you cover all of your bases, then are they really racist, or are they just an extreme comedian?
Yeah.
And then you can say, well, comedians shouldn't go that far. Well, that line is so arbitrary, like,
yes,
who's to say how, like, that's too far? Like, there are Holocaust jokes.
Right,
there
exactly,
are 6 million, jeez,
right,
11 million
right,
total.
It
and
seems
there are Holocaust
self-evident
jokes
within the idea of a joke, but I do get, too, that a lot of people are just very hypersensitive because there is still, like, a lot of oppression and, like, shitty stuff going on.
So you shouldn't be tone deaf, 100%.
Right, and that's I totally agree why, like, you shouldn't just be able to be willy-nilly any, which a lot of white dudes that aren't even comedians are really the ones doing shit like that, just... And they think it's better that they just use the A, and it's like, It's such a weird world to live in that this is the transformation of it. It's very, very, very bizarre.
Yeah, I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, it's like the only thing worse than the, or just as bad, I don't even know, as the original use of the word, because now it's just got variations and people think they're using it in a different way.
Yeah,
it used to be
like,
at least cut
point.
And clear that it was, yeah, it's only multiplied it in a sense.
Exactly. That's all it's done is exacerbated its presence.
Yeah,
and
which is would make it harder to delete now that
yes.
these variations.
Now,
shoots.
Yeah, I 100% agree, dude. It's almost ridiculous for me to say that we should delete it because I don't think that that's going to happen.
So ultimately, I imagine, like you were saying earlier, with like your thumbs and that, like a certain feature of being, of something being, making you able to be othered.
Mm-hmm.
I heard something similar to that recently too, of someone saying that we need to get to a point where race is as insignificant in meaning as the color of someone's hair, so that in you basically, you know, you can appreciate it, the differences in it, and talk about them, but not like have any sense of superiority or systemic issues that favor one feature, you know, that it becomes that ridiculous of an idea.
Yeah.
Do you think a world, I'm guessing that's also something you would want. I hope everyone's wanting, right? That, like, ultimately, and that's why I think people are standing up, and I mean, whether you think some people are taking it too far or not is worthy of debate, I suppose, from person to person, but prioritizing your time and thoughts here, I think all of us, especially white people, have to listen and make an effort, no matter how tired you are from your jobs or exhausted you are from shit that's going on day to day and whatever. Like, this is one of those moments in life and history where we all have to, like, look ourselves deep in the mirror and be like, what am I doing to be the best person I can be? Set all your politics aside, you know, like, don't get so dragged down in your own politics that you're assuming the worst of people around you.
Because not all Republicans are devils.
Yes,
saying.
Yes. And we can do a whole other episode if we'd like at some point of the issues of, you know, conservatives and liberals. I'm not going to lie and say my list for conservatives is a lot longer. It's more a Republican to Democrat issue, though, because I'd like to think there's more meaning left in the idea of conservatism and liberalism as, like, philosophies of...
Which I am not a Republican, by the way.
Right. Luckily, we're in Ohio, and we have some semblance of freedom. And can go about our day without having to choose a party. That's, like, the most ridiculous thing, dude. That's how they get you. They hold you captive in some closed ballot states. You have to, wear your identity. You pick your animal. Wear the T-shirt. It's so strange. But... do you think we can get to that world like that without eradicating the N-word from our language? What if we solved every systemic issue? Like, could we get to a point where racism is, like, the last thing is the N-word and something that some black people are, like, using versions of it, and then some white people as... trying to defend their use of it, but we've fixed every other, like, systemic issue.
Personally, and this is, let me just say too, that this is the foundation of why I said in the beginning, I'm almost scared that my feelings on this are going to change. And what I was referencing when I said that in the beginning was how much I hate the use of it. But after we've gotten to this point where we've etched out mentally, like, why I don't like it and what the two alternatives seem to be, that's why I see myself switching, because I just don't think the word's going to go anywhere. I don't think it's possible.
So you feel like it's something you're going to just have to accept at some point?
I feel like it's going to have to be something that you just use.
Damn.
And everybody just uses. I feel like stripping it of its negativity is going to be the only answer. But that conclusion is something I drag my feet towards, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not in any rush to get to that conclusion, because I just really feel like the word has just so much systematic, like, negativity. Like when it was used back then, it was, it just, it meant something about your value. Like, because when you hear a word like bitch, you know, it's always, like, it could be bad, right? But it's almost not as bad as, like, the word faggot. Why is that? Because terms like nigger and faggot and other really aggressive slurs is that they clearly are, when they were used at their height for their negative, for the use of negativity, they were clearly demeaning the value of someone, you know? And that honestly does make me think similarly about, like, the term faggot. Like, I almost feel the same way about the N-word, because gay people are a smaller population, comparing how much damage was done between them and black people isn't necessarily doable, but the point remains the same, is like, the gay community has been through so much, and the term faggot was equally used to devalue them. Mm-hmm. And that's why I hate hearing, like, gay people going up to whatever, like, oh, don't be a faggot. I hate hearing that just as much as I hate hearing, like, hey, that's my nigga. Like, it's all the same. Like,
interesting.
Don't like it.
Do you see, so you see them all as the same, not, like, in levels of harshness, like, what's a worse word, or...
Yeah, I pretty much do. Like I said, like, the term bitch, for instance, like, I feel like that's not nearly as bad, because that's a reference.
Unless you do see there's a hierarchy.
Yeah, yeah, because that was strictly a reference to women, but it's more about the quality of the person, the quality of the woman. You're a shitty person for whatever reason, so I'm calling you a bitch. I'm not saying that you're less than a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a bitchy human being.
Mm-hmm.
But the N-word, the F-word, like, those words were definitely a statement on your value as a human being.
And how they, and what they originated as.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do, I feel like it gets complicated with curse words to me, because I think of, like, I think of how different situations they're used in, and, like, you know, like, an ass was a donkey, bitch was a female dog, obviously still female, so it's all, like, rooted, and they're supposed to be, they originate as slurs, too, you know, like, as bad words, or not just starting as an innocent word and being, like, it's supposed to have some demeaning quality to it, which is why I usually think anything like that is the only thing that is important about the intent is the context within what it is, and unless it's comedy, if you ever, like, seriously are using the word bitch or things like that in, like, in order to demean someone rather than make a joke or put, like, some weird spin on it to where it's, like, your friend.
But look at what you just said. And I think that's valid.
Mm-hmm.
But what you just said is, I think, what's going to happen with the N-word. Like you just said, you're using it in a joke or you're putting a weird spin on it.
Right. To where, but how casual does that become? And, like, to what point is it, like, appropriately comedic? I would think more so on a stage or, like, only with, like, very close friends or something that are going to fully understand the context. Like, I would hope no one's just, like, so casual about it that they're, like, going around. And that shit does happen now, you know? Like, I know people personally, white dudes from my hometown, you know, that are going around using it casually. I've met people at school here in Fairborn that, you know, and, like, they're not rare. They're not necessarily a rare breed of white people, which is interesting to think about. But I do think, like, I don't know, I worry too that, like, my perspective was, I'm interested in talking about it and, like, picking apart whether there's any time for it to be used in a context that isn't offensive, is, like, often equated as just as bad as the people that are going around just casually using it, which I don't think is the same thing.
Yeah,
and I think is ultimately what you were saying too with with comedy. It's really, and that's whether it's that a racial thing or any sort of thing making fun of somebody, it's all about the taste. It has to be in good taste of, like, and every joke is worth scrutinizing, you know, but I think that we are living in an age where it's, like, stuff like you're saying, it's, like, people want to take sound bites of things and, like, one video, and it's, like, well, did we even check to see if, do you even watch this person? Did you ever check to see if they're making fun of white people in a bunch of other videos? You know, it's kind of a normal thing to do in comedy is make fun of everybody. That's kind of
one,
the first indicator of a good comedian.
Can I please just say this too?
Popular,
like,
and
I am all for, like all, like, how, please tell me what's so harmful about that joke, though. And this is, this is, and I already know that the rebuttal of children is the biggest one people will have a problem with that joke at. And when I say that joke, I'm referring to the Ching Chong jokes, right? Mm-hmm. So, from an objective, non-othering, well, I can't say that, but from an objective, non-demeaning fashion, from a non-demeaning perspective, is it simply not funny when something is different than you, right? Mm. It's just kind of like, oh, really? Like, it's funny. We,
what are the odds? You know, damn.
Yeah, it's just like, ha, 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 that's different, right? Mm. It doesn't mean that you are less than, it doesn't mean that, that I think you're less than, and it doesn't even mean, I don't know, I just think it's human nature to find that funny. Going back to the language thing, that is all that represents for me. Like, oh, ha, 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 their language sounds different than ours. Like, does that make that person racist? Mm-hmm. Like, we do that with, like, European languages all the time, and it's just not that harsh. Like, think about how many people make German jokes. Like, how funny the German sounds.
Yeah, it all depends on, like, what shade of white to brown you are.
I guess. Tanned. Because, yeah, that's...
You gotta be within your ballpark. get your, what is that thing? The ancestry. You gotta do the ancestry test.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
then you'll know what all you can say, what all groups you can make fun of.
Because yeah, I just really don't... I don't know. I just feel like I said, is it in poor taste? Maybe. Right. Why is it in poor taste? Because it's tone deaf. And why is it tone deaf? Because if you're going to make the racist joke, there are certain things that you have to acknowledge about you. Because how formidable is your character to be able to do something that paints you in a negative light? Mm-hmm. If you're going to do something that paints you in a negative light, you have to have a formidable enough character to back up the fact that it was all for the sake of comedy. You know, if that's going to be your standpoint, you can't be somebody who I feel like, I guess my point is with these people, like, with the YouTubers, like, should they be canceled? No. But if you're going to make that type of joke, does your content and your personality fortify the fact that you truly are not a xenophobic and a racist person?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because if it doesn't, then any encroachment on that, any line that you cross is going to paint you like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if you have a strong enough character and persona, call it, that... you know, that could save you. And, mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like the YouTubers probably didn't. So it's like people just knew them as, like, funny people who maybe talked about life topics or did food reviews. Right, but then you cross that line, it's like... Yeah. So your character has not been formidified. Nobody knows anything about your character. You've just been reviewing food and making people laugh.
Oh, right. That's right. I forgot you said they're reviewing food. I need some water. We got the cotton.
I'm doing one.
Yeah. I'll make this point, then we'll get some. But yeah, that makes a big difference. It sounds like it's worth, you know, scrutiny for that point alone. Like, if you look at the rest of the content and that doesn't add up, and you do that out of nowhere, it's like, okay, where did that come from?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's worth being skeptical about, you know, but I think before you jump to conclusions, it's important to look. And, you know, we have to, the crime's got to fit, or the punishment's got to fit the crime, and... I think the statement they make afterward is, like, important, you know? But even more clear examples of that type of shit, I feel like, happens sometimes with people of all different kinds of races in comedy, where it's, like, people get upset at a racist joke, and they're like, but I was joking. Or sometimes there are comedians, too, that have, and that's, like, something to talk about as well, with certain topics, and, you know,
this is the thing too, that when you say comedians, my mind, I'm gonna tell you how I got here. I got back to the N-word situation,
uh-huh.
because I was thinking of comedians, and then I was thinking of George Lopez, who's a Latin comedian, uh-huh. and then I went from him to Latinos in general, and I was thinking of Fat Joe. And plenty of other Latinos who feel like the N-word is fair game. I do not agree.
Yeah.
I do not agree.
Right.
Tekashi 6ix9ine. Stop.
Him too. I say that with some bit of surprise for whatever reason. I don't know why.
You shouldn't be surprised. I just, it's just, my thing is, like, think about what Danielle Bregoli was saying. And yes, I'm going to do something off the wall and quote Bad Baby.
It's the first time that's been done in a long while, I imagine.
The one and only Cash Me Outside girl, she made a very valid point, in my opinion.
She's going to make you blow up. You're going to make her blow up again.
Hey, man.
No, she'll make you blow up.
That's what we're here for. By the way, stream Worth It. My new EP, in all seriousness, is out on all platforms. Get you that. Copy that. You might hear it before or after this video. I don't know. But definitely. Cop that. Anyway, but yeah, so she made an interesting point when people were saying that she was trying to act black.
Mm.
She's like, yeah, I might act what you guys think is acting black, but at the end of the day, when Tarzan was in the woods,
she cited Tarzan.
Now, guys, this is an example of what we call a tone deaf. that's a tone deaf reference. Which, hey, by the way, if I've been tone deaf in any of this, I fully accept it. I'm not perfect, and I'm willing to learn.
I don't know.
Let me know. Blow. By the way, at Montavio the Goat. That's the idea.
Go follow him and blow up his DMs.
You can
become a better person.
Honestly, but so yes, that was a tone deaf comparison. However, it does not take away from the meaning and the accuracy of the analogy, and that's simply that he learned the ape, like the way of an ape, because mm-hmm. that's who raised him. More modernly speaking, more in real life speaking, not modern, but in real life speaking, there have been cases of wolf children who are left in the woods for whatever reason and then are raised by animals until they act that way. Now, I'm not calling lower economic people animals at all, uh-huh. by any stretch of the imagination. Right. And I'm not calling black people animals by any stretch of the imagination. They're not gorillas or anything like that. And that's why the comparison is tone deaf. Mm-hmm. Regardless, the point remains the same, is that you are a product of your environment. Now, choosing to transcend from that is your decision. Whether or not you should is your decision. However, you initially are a product of your environment, and there are some things you can't change about that. Now, it doesn't mean you have to emulate things that are specific to what you're not. So I think the excessive Afro hairdos, so she's never had an Afro hairdo where her hair has been like an Afro, but it is extremely resemblant of mixed people's hair, which has a slightly different curl pattern than someone who's white who has curly hair. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen her with weaves like that. She's extremely darker than she used to be, but to be fair, she's just tanning, and I do think white people tan all the time. I don't think it's bad to tan. Mm. Like, it's low-key natural to just tan. Like, yeah. it's just not fighting what happens to your skin when you get in the sun. Like, if you like being darker, that's your prerogative. And yeah. if you got that way just by being in the sun, that's very natural to me.
Right, tanning beds are different.
And that's true, too. And that's where I think that's a big thing of why people are uncomfortable, because when she was on Dr. Phil for the first... And for most of her career, she's been the color of, you know, the moon. Again, not in a bad way. Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that. But she just has been. She's been lighter. Mm-hmm. And so to be so pale and then to just be so tan, it makes it seem like you're chasing to look like
right.
a black woman. Especially right. when you're wearing wearing the hairdos and then on top. So then so what she's saying, though, is if she likes long hair and weave and long nails, then that's because that's who she grew up idolizing was black women and the women around her in these, mm-hmm. any situations who were also black. So it's like, I don't have a problem with that. I really right. don't. But that wouldn't really mean that you've got to go around using the N-word, which right. she's only used once in her own video, she claims.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I was just making the point that you can be a product of your environment and maybe, quote-unquote, act black or whatever the case may be, but that does not, by any stretch of the imagination, change your correlation to the word. And that's why I don't think Latinos should be able to use it. Because, yeah. yes, you have your own hardships that you've been through, so why don't you use and iconize words that are for Hispanic people? And I won't say them because I wouldn't want them saying the N-word. Mm-hmm. So I won't say their word. But... why not use that word? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But to use ours, it's just as unfair as anyone else using ours. Like, you being POC doesn't mean that you were enslaved. And it doesn't,
yeah.
It doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't mean that you've had our history. You've had your own gorgeous history to celebrate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But don't take from ours.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's something to be said about saying everybody's different words, you know, if you're just referring to them as well. But
of course,
I think the biggest issue in my mind is people that just think they have some sort of entitlement to the word just because they're a person. They're like, oh, well, we're all the same at the end of the day. I feel that way. That means there's nothing going on and I'm not benefiting from a system that doesn't treat people equally.
Yeah.
So I can use the word as long as I have my personal morals aligned. But I mean, there's no way to have your personal morals aligned if your morals aren't including the well-being of the people around you and listening to 100%. Them and what that word means and how you're using it. So I don't think we have to be so fearful. I think sometimes it can fall into word any racial slur except for white ones for obvious reasons. And it's obviously fair that
I do think
we gotta
back off, though. I do think black people have got to back off with making fun of white people. I don't think
that's really? Gonna they do too much shit, dude.
No, this is the thing. You can make fun of them in a numbskull aspect. Like a big, like, a not even a big brother, but a brother.
Yeah.
Like how brothers would be like...
Big brother's not a good picture.
Right now. Again, tone deaf now.
Now that's tone deaf and stars in.
Right now. but... Yeah, I just feel like you can look at them because, yeah, it's corny to say, but it's only the only advantageous way to be a citizen of the world is to view your neighbor as your brother, right?
Mm.
So in doing so, like, yes, they are other than you. So, and yes, their people have made mistakes and have done things that have harmed my people and a lot of people's people for a long time. But does it help to do the same thing to them that they did to us? Now, we don't have the power or influence to hurt you guys as much as you guys hurt us, and obviously not you specifically, Joey. But at the end of the day, though we don't have that power, it almost feels like it makes our cause less credible, because it's like, go, like we've talked about this with the left and Trump, right? When the left makes jokes about Trump's penis, and jokes about Trump's weight, and jokes about Trump's skin, and jokes about Trump's, you know, so these things are funny, and to joke about them is not wrong,
mm-hmm.
but when that is the focal point of why you don't like someone,
you're spending all of your energy.
That is exactly right. You're spending all of your energy doing that,
mm-hmm.
then you cannot get to the heart of why this is really a bad thing.
Yeah, and that's the irony, is a lot of those people are the ones on the moral high horses, where they wouldn't dare make fun of somebody else that's fat, or small penis, or like, you know, who... Maybe they
will with Trump.
Maybe they make fun of them for their ridiculous alt-right views, which is, and to some degree, more fair. But
mm-hmm.
that's what's ridiculous, is like, they're the people that'll shame somebody for making a fat joke in a more tasteful way than they are with Trump. It's like, it's so personal.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, I totally agree with you. Like, it is funny. It is very funny to some degree, but when it's personal, that's where I'm like, well, what are we making fun of? Are we just making fun of dudes with small dicks now?
Exactly.
There's plenty of good dudes out there
yeah,
with
small
dicks, or
yeah.
with the, you know, or that are fat, or...
But, yeah, at the end of the day...
It's hypocritical.
And it's just not conducive to the cause.
And not to improving it. You only have so much energy, you know, any of us do, and we need to... You know, most people, even, no matter how much energy you have in, like, talking to people, and, like, being willing and open to, and, like... No matter how open you think your mind is and like how good your morals are, you should always be striving to do better, you know, in some regard. And I think like that's vital I'm baked. I can't remember what I was talking about before that.
Well, you're just all in all, like how I think black people should back off of it on making fun of white people, because just like it's okay and it's funny to make fun of Trump for obvious reasons,
that
should not be your focal point on the person who is other than you.
Yeah.
Your focal point should be like, how can you constructively criticize and constructively communicate? So like, again, it's fine to joke, especially if everybody's in on it.
Right.
There are plenty of white people.
But they're not in on
it.
And obviously they're not in on it because you really feel like they're being ignorant. Some of them are being arrogant and just ignorant, but they're...
Yeah.
It's also an issue. You know, predominantly the people around me that I feel like are not exposed or interested in exposing themselves to the issues that still are happening and facing different communities and the indigenous community as well. You know, that's what's so fucking hard about all of this is like. There should be no question why people are protesting. There's like so much shit to protest, and like there's so much shit to protest that we don't have time to protest about all the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And some it makes it seem like some shit's just not even happening. And that's I do worry about that, and with what's going on right now, that we just get locked in the police brutality thing, which I think is an issue. You know, like I'm not negating that, but we can't burn all our resources just on that. I think if we're going to burn all our resources, if shit's just going to get crazy and people are going to resort to that, and you want to try and make that a viable option, which I think most people, I am confident, don't feel like that's the best way to do it, even if they sympathize and have compassion for the people that are choosing to do that. I think ultimately most people are, and there's also the people that can't see any reason for people to be doing that and are just shaming them and shunning them rather than, like we were just saying, using that energy in a positive way to try and change the minds of people if you feel like they're doing something you don't agree with. You only have so much of that energy. I think that's where I started losing myself. You only have so much of that energy. And we're all fighting to, like, get more of it, you know? Get more as much out of life as we can. So I think it's vital that if we want to be able to have that for ourselves, we have to guarantee that we're going to try and, like, make it a part of our lifestyle to... help those around us achieve that too. So it's just like, it's never useful, and everybody fucks up, you know, everybody uses some of that energy negatively. It's a very charged situation. There's a lot going on. It's hard not to, especially when you feel like you're on the other side of it, and you're like, you either feel like all of the shit's made up, or you just don't have the energy, or you haven't lived your life. A lot of people are like that, you know. I think a lot of education shit goes wrong and just teaching people a mentality of being more, you know, open and gentle and kind as human beings growing up. And that's like, I mean, some places do better than others. It's really dependent on the teachers, you know. And then that becomes a whole issue of like education and teachers not being incentivized enough
that's the systematic thing about it. That's how systematic
responsibility they're taking on is crazy, dude.
Yeah, like I just feel like that's how systematic issues really seep into the society in ways just like that. Like you said, like even teachers. Michael, my boyfriend, he's got this story that I hope he doesn't mind me telling. He was in school, and one of his principals, I don't remember what he did, but it was in no way, shape, or form negative or malicious towards anybody else. But I think maybe he was just playing his music loud, or he used like a slang word, something to that effect. And it was disruptive to the class, and that's the problem, obviously. However, the teacher came and said, "We didn't grow up in the hood. You need to stop."
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so little did she know, Michael knew people in the... I think in the school or something like that. Basically, she ended up getting fired because she was just a bad teacher anyway.
Yeah, that sounds about fair.
Yeah, but just the fact, like, right there is a... Like you said, like, you like to think... Because it's all about who you surround yourself with. You like to think that it's not so prevalent, but you look around hard enough, especially, they're there. The white people who say the N-word. Like, people like Mike's teacher.
And it happens more often the more you expose yourself to people, which makes it seem like it's not the solution. But I think it at least gets you outside of your mindset, no matter which one you would only exist in if you weren't pushing yourself to break out of your natural environment and, like, expose yourself to other ways of thinking and living and perspectives. It makes it happen more, but I feel like in the grand scheme it exposes to you, which is what makes me optimistic, I guess, that less people are behaving that way, then the more I expose myself to people, the less it seems to happen to. And I think that because I was born into circumstances that made me think, if I were purely basing it off, like, my family and, like, some friends throughout, you know, life, I guess. And for the most part, I think I always had a very good choice in friends, and still do. lucky for me. But... I think that proved to me that it's you can't judge humanity just by the people you're naturally surrounded to.
Yeah.
And you learn to do it less the more you expose yourself and use your energy for things like that and opening up, you know. Yes, it means reading a lot of shit and doing stuff you wouldn't ultimately. It's why it's so hard to address it. It's like it really does come down to, it's not just like political stuff, you know. And part of the, and I totally agree that that's part of the problem, is everybody politicizes everything. But when we politicize it in terms of two parties of thinking that don't really represent holistically what any of us believe, they're controlled by the elites and for the elites, and slowly getting better at not being that way, but in a lot of ways seeming like they're getting worse. So it's like, it's hard to say right now. It's like, so much good has been done and so much has progressed and correcting shit that like has happened before. Like less people are suffering now globally than any year before this, you know, but we're still, it's not at like a rapid pace by any means, and it seems to be pushing closer and closer to the brink of not being that way for people, depending on what direction technology and wealth goes, you know. It's not getting any more equal, it's quite the opposite. Like, when there's inequality within the rich, that's when you know if you're in the middle class, you're at the fucking bottom. Especially with all the corruption that goes on, you know, in politics. And I think both sides can agree on that there's a lot of corruption. And I really appreciate people who think, you know, don't give in so much because you disagree with someone and it's an emotional topic and shit's important to you, whether you're ignorant to some things going on in the world or not. Don't give in so much to the way that they're, that the system of the corruption tries to feed you, you know, to make you behave a certain way so that you divide with each other rather than finding the commonalities and how you're not treated fairly. And a lot of that does come down to race, but ultimately I think it comes down to class to me. In my mind, I think it goes, class and race are the two biggest issues that America faces at this point. And in a lot of ways, they're interchangeable because race is ultimately
that's where the systematic
class.
Yeah, dude.
But a ton of white people are also, and of all other ethnicities as well in America, are, compared to the rich, are struggling. You know, are just getting by, and are one big accident or one big tragedy away from having to upheave your life. You know, everyone. 90% of America is like just hoping shit doesn't go south, so that they can uphold their standard of living. And I think there should be the other 10%, and maybe not 10%, it should look bigger, you know. If we're gonna have the rich, I don't think it means no one can be rich and you shouldn't have any competition and people be able to get ahead. It's not like, and I don't think really anybody, the majority of people, not even the majority of Bernie Sanders supporters, you know, I really think it's a vocal minority and that gets misconstrued, that those things are radical. But there's enough wealth. There's so much wealth in this country, in this world, that we should be able to guarantee everybody. If we really all put together a collective project, it would be way cheaper to fix the world than it would be to defend ourselves from the things we're afraid of in it.
Mm.
I feel like that's where most of the spending in all the governments around the world are. It's like militarizing and like just looking out for yourself. And I mean, America is probably the worst at it. Ironically, Europe's getting better. When we left Europe to get better, got better, then Europe started getting better and passed us up. And obviously, like, that's, we're not Europe, so we can't just be Europe and, like, they get that too, but there's definitely a lot of shit from there that we could take a thing or two from.
100%, dude. We got issues, boy.
We got issues,
but...
But right now, I think, it makes more sense to... With the momentum, I'm like, whatever gets the momentum, if there's an issue where I'm like, it's fucked up, I'm at the point where I'm like, it's fucked up enough that I'm gonna like make it a part of my life to talk about it and think about it and not back down and make sure that message and education can be spread, you know. So I think if you're not just gonna be guaranteed it, you gotta make it for yourself and share it with each other, you know. So
definitely.
It's as simple as being open to learning, not getting angry, not name-calling. I mean, it's not that simple. I think ultimately, like we were saying with social media too, like, you only get characteristics of social interaction with that, so it's more guaranteed that things aren't going to be taken in the way that they are intended to. But, mm-hmm. you know, when you get angry, it gets real clear what the intent is. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times people can get offended, even if you thought you weren't angry, but you, like, were offended by something, you know. But it's, so it's not as simple as just not name-calling or being mocking or things of that nature. I think it really does take talking face-to-face, but not even that always works. But it's good when it does, and I think it does more often than it doesn't. Yeah. But I guess we're going to find out this election, too. It's going to be wild.
I really am holding my breath for this election. I have no idea.
Everybody is, man.
I have no idea what to expect.
It's probably the most important election to ever happen. Maybe not.
But one of.
I don't know.
I think Obama's was important for obvious reasons, and I think the next female president, not the next, obviously, yeah, but
well, hopefully
the first female president... those will all be important, but this is right up there with them.
This is the biggest one in my mind of, like, a negative election. That was the biggest of a positive election.
Okay, yeah.
Which, there were some others as well. Mm. But they do feel sparing. It's hard not to, dude. It's hard not to, like, I think there's something to be said that you have to, like, you know, when people say things like, this individual was from another time, you know? Like, there is some truth to that, but... Only so much, you know. You can
excuse. You have to have
no. Of course,
you have to have personality.
I feel like only the people saying that are like trying to.
I was thinking of this. We were talking about this the other day with Mike. We were watching Alicia Keys do her 72 questions with Vogue, and I was just kind of noticing, like, okay, because the before I even state my point, Michael's rebuttal, my boyfriend, his rebuttal was. That, you know, she's media trained, so she knows how to give you this image.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, yeah, that's true, but the point that I reestablished, and it was the first point I made when it came to Alicia Keys in this moment with the whole Vogue situation, was just that she was really good evolving with the times. And I don't just mean the way she looks, though she looks stunning and gorgeous at 40-something years old. Mm-hmm. She also doesn't embody the mindset that says, I'm stuck because I'm 40 years old.
Mm.
And it's hurtful to think about your family and friend, your family and maybe even some friends who might be older, who might be like that because they're your family, you know? But it's like, it's so easy to get stuck in what you think it means really to even be who you are, that you lose out on self-improvement and becoming a better person and becoming a more impactful person to the people around you. And so tying all this back to the whole, like, movement, I just kind of feel like it's really important. I was losing my thought.
Oh, you're good.
What was my thought?
It's about to happen. You smoked the blizzard.
Yeah.
You're talking about Alicia Keys.
Yes, personality evolution. So yeah. It's bound to happen that some people will, like, stick to what they think is hard and true. Yeah. And they're like, think of maybe everyone's grandma, like, honestly. Like, not obviously, like, people probably don't have, you know, the same type of grandparents. Like, some people do have grandparents who are a bit more, I guess, open-minded, but I think it's, I guess, just to rehash my point, I know I kind of trolled off in the middle there, but it's just trying to gather my thoughts, because I was making a lot of examples, so I was losing my idea of what my point was a bit. Mm. My point simply is that it's really important for your personality and who you are as a person to evolve, not just where you work or how you look. You know, it's easy to have a physical glow-up or a financial glow-up, but you can still be the same person stuck in the same ways of thinking that don't help anything.
You got to look for a deeper experience, you know, and I think everybody tries to, whether it's religion or spirituality or whatnot, especially hope when it's, I think they're in their best in form when it's more personal and not, you know, casting judgment upon others, at least from a religious standpoint. I think ultimately we all cast judgment against or upon each other, you know, but it's all hopefully based on what characteristics that person possesses, you know, and expresses to you that you should base them on, whether it's good or bad judgment. But I think everybody, yeah, everybody's looking for that deeper experience, and we have to, like, stay true to that above all else and make sure we're constantly questioning ourselves more than we're questioning other people. You know, you can do as, I think you can do as much of both as you want, but you should always be doing more of yourself than mm-hmm. other people mm-hmm. if you're going to have as good, right, if you're going to have a good moral compass. And especially when you're doing that, it's not going to, if you're your own worst critic, I mean, there's downsides to that, and you have to be just as attentive to, like, being able to handle those as well. Mm-hmm. But if you're your own yeah. worst critic, you'll never be offended by someone else criticizing you, because you welcome it, and you're like, I need to keep questioning it, or at mm-hmm. least questioning, you know, criticizing is a different thing.
Yeah, but I was just about to say that, because
you can still be gentle. You can question yourself day in and day out and never yeah. be mean to yourself. And yeah. that's important. Being mean to yourself is a bad thing. And I think that's
maybe overly constructive, but I don't think constructive. I ultimately think of that as like
a positive. Hatred, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely can. I thought it was going to burp. throw up. Well, man, I think we've been going a good while.
Yeah.
Trying to think, I feel like we covered everything, you know? Oh, you know, one thing before we go, you know, like, I think, especially with what you were just saying, of, you know, we wrapped it up on, well, we covered quite a bit, but just wrapping it up on, like, looking at the people around you, and, like, you know, it's easy right now as a young person to be critical of old people in that regard, racism specifically, you know, and that's fair, it's justified, I'm sure if you did pull, you know. And we have done polls on young people. They're fucking stupid in their own right, too. They don't vote when they know it's important, mm-hmm. or they don't, you know. And that's partially, everybody's failed to some degree of a lack of education, I think. And that's obvious, but some lacking of education is worse than others, especially in the age of the internet. And, you know, some people didn't grow. It's also, you know, it's hard to be critical of something without feeling like you're targeting one other group a lot of times, because mm-hmm. you start to be like, oh, now I'm being ageist because mm-hmm. old people don't know or just saying stupid shit on
but
online sometimes. And so are young people, plenty of them are too, but yeah. you know, it seems disproportionate, at least on Facebook and just overall with like who they're voting for. You know, there's an issue that people are voting for Trump, and there's an issue that people are voting for Biden, but obviously it's not that. I think it's more than clear what the decision needs to be here, and it's like, it's not even a lesser of two evils, you know. It's like, it's shitty. It's what's the word? Generic, you know, age old tale of politics. It's all just gonna be. It's gonna be going back to the fake smiles and proper politician, you know, for at least 4 years. And hopefully, it seems like, you know, the more people that ran for president for Democrats this time are gonna support Biden, but at the end of the day, all of them take more resemble and take more inspiration, I think, from Bernie Sanders than they do Joe Biden. It's like apparent. So I think the next generation is going to have the most reasonable age of politics that we've had in America in a long time. So that gives me hope. Or since at least Obama, you know, and there's criticism, sure, of another podcast you could do of shit that probably wasn't perfect in Obama's presidency, but I mean, it's a lot easier to defend and compared to most other presidents as far as fucked up things that were done and arguably had to be done, you know. I'm not saying that I agree they had to be done, but, like, if you're a president going into two wars and an economic crash, you're already in a shitty situation. It's like, you can't just go in there and act like you're going to be a good guy and not have to fight the war, you know, and to try and end it. But I have hope. I hope it's gonna get better. But yeah, they both, I guess what I was saying ultimately is like, what do you think?
It's what's his face? He did the Panic at the Disco.
Okay,
I have a song called High Hopes.
Yeah.
So it's about becoming a celebrity, but this is about world equality.
Yes. Which I'm sure they would be like, you know, it's about that too.
Yeah.
We don't know what we meant when we read it. It means a lot.
Well, it's just Brendan Urie now, so.
Right.
So whatever he.
That's true.
Whoever he wants, Mr. Urie. But anyway,
he's a version of himself. Oh, yeah, so, you know, old people, young people, there's a lot of fucked up tendencies on either side. But
amen.
I do think ultimately, when it comes to racism, that is one that's an issue of older people, you know? And I think a lot of times, just general ignorance of falling into issues like fake news and like and understanding what's actually happening, falling for conspiracy theories, you know, not like listening to experts and just not putting in time to researching things. And none of us are really researching, you know, we're not the peer reviewers, we're not exactly. the researchers, but we're like the public that they're trying to communicate it to, and you have to be, you have a responsibility there too to consuming more than one media source and looking for them. People like to say fuck the media and like this is mainstream media, and mainstream media is really the big, is the issue in my mind, and some other outlets, you know, but it's fewer and far between. There's tons of different places you can get your news from, you know, and it takes effort, but you can't complain about the system and then not even make an effort to try and like navigate it as best you can given the circumstances. And it can be exhausting sometimes, and you have to listen to yourself and know when to step away and take care of yourself. I mean, it's a balancing act like anything else in life, but it's like, it's worth it, you know? It's going to make the world a better place, and that's how all of us should see it. So, I guess at the end of the day, that's what I'm saying. And one of the biggest things I've learned from this is, you know, not to... One, that I need to be more upset about it, and, you know, more active in thinking about it and talking about it and learning about it and sharing it, what I learned about it, and I think that one of the biggest things I didn't understand before this was perfectly what Black Lives Matter represented, and I think there's still a lot of people questioning like leadership and whether it's got the wrong idea with abolishing police and things of that nature, but, you know, I think a lot of times people are listening to the people that are open to the idea, but that opinion, are open to the idea, but they're not really talking directly to the people that are representing Black Lives Matter. And people like Brett Weinstein, you know, like, and respect the hell out of him. I think he's seems to be a great person and a great thinker. He's an environmental scientist who has some interesting stories, but and stuff, and not to take away from any of those, but I think he seems to be of the mindset that there's no leadership and no, like, and that he's worried that this is going to turn more violent because it's like a lot of people protesting or that are fighting for these different things don't seem to know what they're fighting for, you know, like if you went up and asked them, he was saying that they wouldn't really probably have anything to say of what they knew they were there for. And I just don't think that's really accurate. I mean, it's definitely those people and there's videos of that, but that kind of, I don't like watching those videos because they're always selective of even the Trump ones, you know? I mean, I do think it's probably a little different. And the things they're saying are more outlandish to a certain degree, you know? But there is some absurdity of people protesting and not knowing why they're even protesting.
Of course.
But I think sometimes people get like nervous too, you know? Not everybody wants to be in front of a camera and like, if they sit down with their friends. I know people that where that happens, and I think that you can't just be so absolutist and trying to like figure everybody out and pinpoint them and try.
Well, like I said too, when you have riots in a revolution, there are always going to be people who will try to take advantage of that.
Right.
Of any race, color, height, skin tone, whatever you would call it. But that does not change anything about the meaning or the purpose of the revolution.
Exactly. And so, I think it does have to be. I agree with people like Killer Mike saying it has to be organized. And
yeah, 100%.
Like everything has to be thought out and executed. You have to know what you're trying to change and what you're trying to do, and everybody get on the same page. And that does often happen. So I agree, like, in what he's saying, that could be... I understand why he's skeptical about that, because he hasn't... Because I was once skeptical of it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think once I actually listened to people from that were leading the movement, you know, and it took getting this prominence for whatever reason that I hadn't heard from them yet, you know. I don't think a lot, even though a lot of people have supported Black Lives Matter before this, have been around for a while, and they have at least got like national attention, you know, it's not a lot of people that were just wearing that or saying that phrase, you know, and like owning it and like and supporting it actively, and they weren't getting voices of people that created it, you know, and were working. And I didn't even know there were creators. I thought it was like an idea, you know, to some extent. And like, there were some people that were just like bigger and supporting it, you know, like I didn't know the origins of it. And I think that's because there's not a lot of attention given to those people that can explain it clearly. So all you hear is and see is the shit on social media and in the news about what one side believes and what the other side believes, yeah. and then you get all of these, like, different perspectives, and you're like, oh my gosh, well, how many of these people just want, like, no police force and to totally abolish the police, and, you know, how many people think ACAB and fuck the police, which are interesting conversations, too, like, I don't fully, I love the songs, I love Fuck the Police, you know, I love N.W.A., and Kanye says Fuck the Police, so many rappers and artists throughout history, whether they're saying Fuck the Police, they've criticized police, you know, mm-hmm. like, this isn't new. This isn't a new phrase. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's really interesting because I was going to say something else about the protest earlier. Well, the vigil at first, and then the protest happened after. But the vigil, when you brought up, like, why was it George Floyd that this was, like, the tipping point? And I remember wondering that at the vigil, they read off, like, every name that they had found of different unarmed black people that were killed by the police. And I don't even know how long, if it was 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, what, however long. It might have been even 50 or 100 or just ever. But it was like literally 10, 15 minutes of just reading off names. And it seems, I totally agree. We've been so desensitized to it in a certain sense. I mean, white people especially, and people that are really, just people who aren't even black, yeah. And I think that's even less desensitized because everyone seems to connect with that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, black people, they're not nearly as desensitized when they see this shit, obviously. They're more sensitive the more it happens.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, you know, obviously those are the things that need to change, and, like, there are these problems with the police force, and there's lots of them, and I'm still learning lots about them, and it doesn't, not everybody's going to know every little policy, you know, or every little politician, and all of us could do better to be more educated in politics, and we should have already been more educated in politics. It shouldn't be so fucking complicated to be, understand politics, but that's how they get you to get fucked over in it, too.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of suppression and, like, there's a lot of people that don't want you to get up in the morning and think for yourself, you know? And, I mean, not to be some tinfoiled hat, like, freak, like, freak of nature that's just, like, getting up at it and, like, thinks that everything, the world's working against me. I don't think that's the case by any means, but I think a lot of the people in power don't want people to question it, and it's up to everybody to do that, so make sure it's doing the right shit. One of the biggest tools besides, like, supporting Black Lives Matter, or realizing that it was more than time to do that, especially after looking into it more, you know, listening, getting the word directly from the people who represent it. The other thing that I feel like was a big lesson and tool to get was understanding the difference between explicit and implicit racism, because I find myself always getting kind of caught up in the debate with both sides of trying to convince people on the right that systemic racism is a thing, and then trying to, you know, it's semantics and it's not extremely important, as important as that issue, but with the left of talking about the difference between racism and systemic racism, some people think there isn't a difference at all, and to me, I think there is a difference, even if one is very, if certain types of racism are very infrequent. And always not systemic. Obviously, you can't systemically oppress white people.
They are the system.
Right. But you could beat the shit out of a white dude because he's a cracker and he's a fucked up person even, you know? Like, I mean, sometimes race can... If black people hate white people, I could totally understand that. It's more justified racism, even if it's racism.
Right,
but
which still should be eradicated.
Right, I agree. Racism of any form is not good, but white people are the best at using it and the worst at admitting it. So that's definitely a conversation that has to be had. And, you know, and I think that's... You asked me a month ago if I thought I was racist, I would have said no. But today, I'm like, I mean, definitely, especially with, if you mean implicit racism, I don't think I'm explicitly racist, and, you know, one of the things that fell into implicit racism, really the only thing where I was like, eh, I don't know, was jokes, you know, racist jokes, and I was like, I feel like there's a gray area there, as we've talked about here, but everything else of explicit racism was obvious stuff, you know, like hate crimes and just slurs and, like, clearly, intentionally.
Yeah.
Hateful things, and I like to think most people at this point, or at least, I mean, obviously more grandparents, more of our grandparents and everybody's grandparents are going to be explicitly racist and have moments of that, or are always like that, or whatnot, but I think even them, compared to their parents, most of them are more implicitly racist than explicitly, mm-hmm. even if they're voting for people like Trump, because I think they're single-issue voters, and it's, again, like, a lot of things are ignorance of people thinking, identifying more with the mega-rich rather than the homeless guy that lives down the road from them, you know? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're not totally like either of them, and one has more problems, and one has maybe more problems, but at least not the problems you have, so they're definitely lesser in some way, you know? And you're... Those people aren't going to be affected by that one instance of a tragedy or a freak accident that you have to pay for and stop your life to fix and change your standard of living for. But all of us are one bad turn away from that, you know?
Definitely.
And we don't need to lose enough wealth. We don't need to live in a world like that. So I think once you can convince people of that, and you can own your own racism, you know, like I can admit where I have been implicitly racist or implicitly biased against other people that are othered in life, in my lifetime, you know, and never was it intentional, but I think it always was, I've always felt confident that, like, I'm at least making an active effort to better myself and, like, listen and learn shit, you know. It's hard to get that way and talk to people without making them feel like you're trying to condescend them or be condescending or patronize them for not being higher than they are or something higher than thou. But I don't think that's the case for a lot of people. So hopefully tools like that, you know, can people understanding what Black Lives Matter actually is and then understanding the difference between implicit and explicit racism, especially as white people, to make you realize how you're still being a part of a system that is perpetuating these issues. And then you realize, because only then can you realize how you can help.
Yeah.
And only then can you talk about it and feel, should you be able to feel confident that you're doing everything you can to make it a better world, you know? So.
Fight the power. Say it loud.
Fight the power.
I'm black and I'm proud.
We'll play that song on the way out on the... At the end of the episode. Fuck a copyright, dude. No, I'm kidding. We'll play one of your songs. Unless you're gonna sue me.
I mean, I might.
Alright.
Alright. Yeah. Nah, man. Put it on there.
I never did ask you if you're gonna sue me for all the other songs I've played.
I gotta say, once their streams surpass 50... Gonna have to sue. Well, actually, that's not true, because right now, those ones are. Let me see. What all do you have out? You only have. Oh God. You've got Biggest Fan out, don't you?
Oh, I do. Do I need to take it down? Is it the old version?
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of that.
Oh,
but.
You're not a fan of the Biggest Fan, all
yeah,
right. So
yeah, you might hear from my lawyers about that.
Damn, man.
Once I can afford lawyers.
That's fair.
Which is not anytime soon. Stream worth it. Out everywhere on all platforms.
Or don't, so I don't get sued.
No, no, stream it. Stream worth it.
Boycott Montavia.
I'm a starving artist, damn it. This is my life. I dropped out of school.
You did?
No, I didn't.
This is news to me.
Joey, yeah, I dropped out of school, guys.
No, yeah, I'll cut that part out.
No, I'm
not
going to
call this episode Monty dropped out of school. I won't do that.
Honestly, the more sympathy streams I can get out of this, the better. So, you know what? Headline. Young black gay teen. I mean, kid. I mean, adult. I'm 21.
Uh-huh.
Drops out of school.
Drops out of school.
But see, just those.
Supports
those,
Black
those
Lives Matter and condemns N-word.
Bro, yes.
There we go. It'll be a long title.
Yeah, but people will see that and resonate.
Yeah, they will. People won't care if it's long, if it's true.
Which, it's not true. It's all true except, you know, I am in college, guys. Which is even more reason why you should... You know, support me as a starving artist.
Right, you should support starving student artists more than uneducated artists that couldn't go to school, because Monty thinks he's better than them.
I do, so that's why you should, stream worth it. out on all platforms. Montavio. Oh yeah, don't search Monty, search Montavio. Just
FYI. I'll have to put your name as Montavia this time, too.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks again, Monty, for being on.
No problem, buddy.
Third episode, right?
The wait. The wait episode.
The wait. This room's going to be gone in a month, so. Yeah, man.
Oh, dude, so where are you going to do it?
I don't know. I'm still thinking. We'll see. Updates on that coming soon.
Oh, no.
What's the future of the podcast?
Oh, no.
Stay tuned for the next episode, which is going to be part two of Pimping and Prostitution and Pornography with Steve McJones.
Wait, what?
It is a podcast I did a couple of days ago, Wednesday.
Oh, you did a podcast over Pimping and Prostitution?
Yes, and Pornography. Don't forget the triple P. Triple X for the triple P's. Yeah. Yes, we did that last week, and he released the first half of it. And then we released part two sometime next week. So that's what's coming next. But yeah, check out all of Monty's music, Montavia's music.
Yes. Montavio. I know it's hard.
It's a 14-minute EP. If you don't have time for that, you're a fucking liar. Because that's one Grateful Dead song. So it's definitely, any Deadhead should be able to check it out.
Yeah, everyone likes Grateful Dead.
We're Fish fans. Any of you jam banders, even though it's not a jam, I don't know. I feel like there's probably a correlation between people that are jam band fans and also rap and pop fans.
Well, with that being said, let's make no mistake about this album. It is a hip-hop pop album.
Yes, hip-hop pop.
Hip-hop pop.
Hip-hop pop. All right. Well, not scared of the dark, feeling good for the first time.
That is it. That is a note I'll leave you on. It's still so heavy. Your touch will break my level. My love will come through. Just feel it kiss you. Not scared of your heart, felt it beat for the first time. The pressure gave me lessons, got me bathing in the sunshine. Your kiss just feels like candy. The warmth is so demanding. All my love will come through. Just feel it kiss you. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, time I wasted. I'm trading places. I'm gonna face it. I'm gonna make it. No, you wanna cry about it, 'cause you can't live without it. Living like you swim in sadness, but you can stop the madness if you stop the acting. Feel it, just a don't need no anesthesia, just focus on your freedom. Not scared of the dark, feeling good for the first time. The pressure gave me lessons, counting blessings, and they all mine. Your gaze just feels so heavy, your touch will break my levy. All my love will come through, just feel it kiss you. Not scared of your heart, felt it beat for the first time. The pressure gave me lessons, got me bathing in the sunshine. Your kiss just feels like candy. Want this self-demanding, all my love will come through. Just feel it kiss you. Trading places, I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna face it, I'm gonna face it. Time I wasted, fuck this burden. My life is worth it, my life is worth it. Not scared of the dark, feeling good for the first time. The pressure gave me lessons, counting blessings, and they all mine. Your gaze just feels so heavy, your touch will break my levy. All my love will come through, just feel it kiss you. Not scared of your heart, felt it beat for the first time. The pressure gave me lessons, got me bathing in the sunshine. Your kiss just feels like candy, the warmth is so demanding. All my love will come through. Just feel it kiss you. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I'm gonna make it. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. My life is worth it.